Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Jays Talk Plus. If you are just joining us on Sportsnet 360 or sportsnet.ca, let's reset for you. Toronto Blue Jays made one move. They've dealt prospect Jordan Groshans to the Miami Marlins for Anthony Bass, Zach Pop. That joke is going to ruin me. And a player to be named later. The other bit of Jays news, George Springer not in the lineup again tonight as he continues to manage that elbow. Our pal Caitlin McGrath of The Athletic pointing out that Otto Lopez is on the field down at Tropicana right now. No roster move as of yet. Little bit of a taxi squad in Tampa just in case there are moves that necessitate extra bodies for the Jays. Right now, we're 2 hours out from the trade deadline. It's Groshans for Bass, Pop, and a player to be named later. The big news, though, and John Morosi of MLB Network is to my left. What a day to have. By the way, before we get into any of the trade stuff, are you just angling for your passport? You're doing World Junior Championship stuff. You're spending all of deadline week here in Toronto. Man, we got to get you a passport.
I'm trying to be a better neighbor, Blake, after having a few years where I wasn't able to be in Toronto. This is my first time in this city since 2019. Just grateful to be here at an amazing time. Actually, was able to get to the ballpark on Sunday, the best ever commute. You fly from Windsor, you land at Billy Bishop Airport, you walk to the ballpark from the airport. So was able to watch the Tigers Jays on Sunday and just spend a couple great days here in the city and get the chance to work with you in studio, Blake. So it's been a lot of fun. Everybody here has been so gracious as always, and just a lot of great baseball talk happening this week.
Yeah, the gotta say, that's a pro's move, the flying from Windsor and then doing the Billy Bishop thing. That's a man who's been here before. So you've been here for some. Oh, hey, Jordan Romano wins MLB AL Reliever of the Month. Cool.
And deserved. Deserved, yes.
About the smallest piece of news we're going to hear today. The big one, the San Diego Padres just tweeting out, it's official now. They've acquired Juan Soto and Josh Bell. The Padres send out a whole bunch of prospects. They also eat a bunch of money to reroute Eric Hosmer to Boston. How intense was all of this putting it together? Like this is going to go down as one of the biggest trades in baseball history. I imagine there were a lot of teams in the mix to varying degrees. You as a newsbreaker must have been so much fun to just track all this and be getting all this as it came down.
It is a day that I'll never forget, Blake. Just the surreal nature of it. To have a future Hall of Famer traded at the deadline and have it happen this early in his career. When you look at, there was a great graphic earlier today on MLB Network showing other players that have had a similar trajectory to Soto through this time in his career, and it's players who were one-team guys. We're talking names like Williams and Mantle and Musial on that board. So by definition, players like this are not traded. So this is really an almost, at least in the modern history of the game, an unprecedented day to have a player of his caliber move. And yet the Nationals did really well here. I know Nationals fans probably don't want to hear this, but this was the right thing to do. You were not able to sign him. They offered him darn near $500 million. He said no. The team is clearly rebuilding. They won a World Series 3 years ago. It was time. It was time to see what you could get on the open market, and they did. They got four, as my colleague Dan O'Dowd has pointed out, four first-round picks. Think about a deal in which you get four first-round picks in any sport, current, future, former. That's a very, very unique set of circumstances, I think, for the San Diego Padres. Yes, they gave up a ton, but they got a ton, and they really improved between this trade, which includes Josh Bell, lest we forget, and Josh Hader yesterday. For me, Blake, this was a day that we're going to be talking about for a long time, August the 2nd, 2022.
So the return is Luke Voit, sure, but Mackenzie Gore and CJ Abrams, the big prospects here, Robert Hassel and James Wood. I know a lot of people are really high on James Wood, think he could, you know, be up there with Gore and Abrams in terms of how we talk about this trade down the line. And then Jarlin Susanna. What, when you look at that prospect package, and we can consider the fact that there's, you know, an element of money that San Diego took on as well, how competitive could other teams have been with this? Like, the Padres and Dodgers always feel like they're in a bit of an arms race these days, but we had heard the Cardinals were in the mix. Everyone here was hoping maybe the Jays would be in the mix. How competitive was this when it got down to the wire?
I think, Blake, the last 24 hours was very much focused on the Padres.
Okay.
As we went through the weekend and then the early part of this week, I continued trying to check, okay, is there anybody else joining the competition that we weren't expecting? Were the Giants lurking? And I thought that they were a really good fringe team in this, where if they wanted to get involved, they could have. In the end, they really didn't. The Jays, I was told they had checked in, and we talked about this a bit before. The Jays had checked in. I think it would have had to have started with Bo Bichette. And here's, when you look at this package, okay, what actually happened, the equivalent pitchers. Now, Mackenzie Gore is injured now, which adds some uncertainty there. But Mackenzie Gore is basically San Diego's version of Alek Manoah. So if you look at it that way, would you have given up Bichette, Manoah, Gabriel Moreno, and Orelvis Martinez all in the same deal? Probably not. Probably not. And I think that is basically where, and again, Manoah has more value than Gore, clearly.
Yeah. If you take him out and put Ricky Tiedemann in, that's the whole of the top of the farm system, but I think I can get there with that.
Okay. And that's probably what you would look at.
Yeah.
It would have to have been Bichette, Tiedemann, Martinez, Moreno. That would have been probably the start of it. And then they added in one more piece at the end. And that's basically what you're talking about. Now, there may be some Jays fans that would have been okay with that. And Bo has had an okay year. I think that's the one thing where Bo has not been producing at that consistent perennial all-star level. The Jays believe that's still in there.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the Jays not being a significant suitor for Soto tells me they really must believe in Bichette and believe there's more in there. Because if not, and if the Nationals really liked Bo, then the Jays should have been right there in lockstep with what the Padres ultimately offered.
Huh, that's an interesting one, especially because, you know, you look at it and Washington got guys who maybe aren't here yet. I know CJ Abrams is up, but he does not look major league ready just yet. So that's an interesting one, and it's kind of a different package. And I wonder how Nationals fans would have taken it if you got a guy who was an all-star last year and has the numbers that Bo had, if maybe that's a little more stomachable for Nationals fans when you've lost, what, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Juan Soto now, Max Scherzer, Anthony Rendon. That's that World Series wasn't even 3 years ago.
Right.
And five borderline franchise players to borderline franchise players are
Strasburg,
gone.
And Strasburg has barely pitched.
Yeah. So the other side of that, Nationals fans surely can't love that this is what's left of the 2019 team, even if you can get your way there as a baseball trade. But the San Diego Padres over the last couple of years have become one of the most aggressive and entertaining teams in baseball. They are the 17th largest media market in the U.S. How good do you think this is for the game of baseball? And when we talk about things like competitive balance and things like that, that a team that not long ago was considered a small market team who would never do these kind of moves, is this aggressive, is pushing the Dodgers, not dollar for dollar, but move for move a little bit.
Yeah, Blake, that's a great point. And to me, it's a really positive trend line for the sport. When you have a team that's not one of the marquee markets, brand names, if you will, in the sport, that's making a lot of noise, it is a good thing for the sport. You go back to the early days, the early weeks of when A.J. Preller became the Padres GM. He was called the rock star GM. You recall the Matt Kemp trade. It was a big step then. Of course, it didn't work out. But the idea there was that this team was going to be swinging on all the big possibilities. And now it's come back around to do this. It's interesting, too. You look at just how often he has made either big free agent signings or trades. He likes to make movement. A.J. Preller is someone who likes to trade. I can't even recall, and maybe you can mention a GM from the NBA. I'm thinking through the NHL. Someone who just loves to trade and has almost...
Daryl Morey would be the comp. Right. Houston and then Philly. He's always tinkering.
Who has almost none of his homegrown players. Really none. Even the guy that he signed just this week, Joe Musgrove, was traded. Now he's a San Diego native. But you look at their rotation. they almost all of them came from somewhere else, and Abrams and Gore were homegrown, and now they're gone. So I think AJ Preller just loves to make moves, and I've known AJ for a long time. He has an extraordinary work ethic. He loves watching players. He loves scouting in Latin America. He loves discovering players that maybe aren't obvious out there. Now, obviously, this is probably the most apparent trade ever in that everybody loves Juan Soto, but AJ knows the international market well. He's a fluent Spanish speaker. I think he really wants to see what kind of team he can build there. It's a bilingual town, obviously, on the border. It's just to have a star of Juan Soto's caliber to join Tatis and Machado. And to me, Blake, this trade is a lot about Fernando Tatis Jr., what they believe in. Because when he comes back, he's playing shortstop. They could have gone out there and pursued a Xander Bogaerts or pursued a shortstop to effectively displace Tatis and put him into the outfield, and they didn't. This is, to me, a show of confidence. And they traded away, by the way, someone in Abrams who can play shortstop. So this was, for me, doubling down on their belief that Tatis is going to be able to come back and have a good second half. It's just, this is something, Blake, the more I look at it and talk about it, I smile, because we're going to come back to this day for years, because this is a seismic day in the sport. And if the Padres ever break through, of course, they've only made it to two World Series, 84 and 98, and they've never won it before. And so this is now a real strong statement that they believe they can do it.
And they're not going to win the division this year. They're just too far behind at this point. They're 12 games back of the Dodgers. So you have to at least allow for the possibility that random stuff happens in a three-game series. But they're going to be monster favorites against whoever they run. I mean, maybe the Braves, if the Braves don't catch the Mets, but this is shaping up to be quite the playoff bracket in the NL.
Yes.
On the AL side, teams have been pretty aggressive as well. The Yankees obviously loading up with Benintendi, with Efros, with Trevino and Frankie Montas. We saw the Twins deal is now official for Tyler Mahle. The Astros going in for Trey Mancini and doing that Odorizzi for Will Smith swap with the Braves. When you look at what the Jays have done so far, oh, and the Mariners getting Luis Castillo. I know we're still 105 minutes out here. A little surprised at all that the Jays have kind of fallen behind in that American League arms race as it stands right now?
A little bit. And especially when you consider the caliber of players who have already moved. I do think Noah Syndergaard is still an option for the Jays. He has not moved yet and could move. I expect he will move today. My colleague John Heyman reported that possibly Syndergaard and Raisel Iglesias could be a combo deal, and maybe they would both be coming to Toronto. We'll see how that unfolds, because the Phillies have already been active, obviously, elsewhere, to the point that maybe Syndergaard is not necessarily going to go to the Phillies. They have added both Brandon Marsh. They've added David Robertson in recent trades in the last half hour. So Dave Dombrowski has been very aggressive. What I'm wondering here is if the Cubs and Jays find a way to connect. That's one of the big dominoes that hasn't fallen yet is Ian Happ. And when you consider Ian Happ, the Cubs have been relatively quiet. Again, they traded David Robertson, but Happ is
out of nowhere also,
right,
though.
Right. You know, that's a huge trade piece in Happ. And you referenced earlier today the George Springer situation. And we saw the discomfort he had in his elbow trying to throw that baseball and in the dugout. That, to me, is potentially a significant concern. And if I know one thing about the way that injuries are dealt with in baseball, especially at the trade deadline, if they know something about the severity of it, they're not necessarily going to tell us until after 6 o'clock. Because if there's something going on that's going to require him to be on the injured list for a period of time, they may not want to let the world know.
Leverage.
And lose some leverage. Exactly. So my antenna is up just from having been around a lot of stadiums and a lot of teams this time of year. To think that something maybe a bit more than a day-to-day situation is upon us right now with George Springer. But that, to me, is why Ian Happ would make a lot of sense if they wanted to make that move because of his versatility. It's a left-handed bat. Blake, to me, here we are. It's now an hour and 45 minutes to the deadline, and the Jays still haven't added a left-handed bat. There's just no way this team goes another hour and 45 without adding a left-handed bat. They have to do that. They're too good of a team. You know, Sunday's game, I realize it was a weekend series win against the Tigers, and the Tigers are just not a good baseball team right now. But the Jays are getting the contributions that they expected they were going to get from their offseason acquisitions. Berríos, Chapman, they're really improving. I would be, if I were a Jays fan, and if the Marlins move, which was a good move, brought in two arms, but if they can't do more, I'd be disappointed.
Yeah, and certainly our text line, you can keep your texts coming into 590-590. We'll sprinkle them in throughout this last hour here. People are itching for more, certainly. Ian Happ, by the way, in the lineup for the Cubs. Bit of a surprise.
Contreras
is in as well.
Contreras is, okay.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, as a catcher, not particularly Jays relevant, but Wilson Contreras DHing, hitting second. Ian Happ in left field, hitting fourth. You can always scratch a guy.
Right. But especially because and this was good, by the way, with the way that MLB scheduled this, there are no games beginning in the major leagues tonight, with the exception of the Rockies and the Padres, which is a rare doubleheader. There is no East Coast ball happening, I guess I would say, before the deadline. The earliest night game is 6:40 p.m. in Miami. So really, with the exception of the Rockies and Padres, Hug Watch will be an exclusively batting practice activity, as we saw last night with Christian Vasquez. What an emotional moment for him, trading sides of the field. So it's an extraordinary time of year, and I spent a lot of these years on the beat where I would be at the ballpark watching it unfold in front of me, which is always a very tense day. Everybody's watching TV. No one's really talking to anybody else. It's fun to be in studio and watch it from a big picture perspective, but it's really a unique day, Blake, that I think the Jays are one of the teams. I think the Cubs from a selling perspective and the Jays from a buying perspective probably face the most pressure in this last hour and 40 minutes to do something, because the Jays have too good of a team to coast up until the deadline. The two relievers were nice. They're not enough, in my opinion, to be able to beat the Yankees and Astros in a playoff series.
No, and we can go through any team that has a good shot at the wild card, right? And Mariners added, Astros added. The AL Central, the Twins added. Cleveland and Chicago didn't, but not... They're kind of fringy right. Anyway. And a couple weeks ago, we were thinking either of those teams could maybe even be sellers. So, but then you look, Rays added. Yankees added big time. Mets, it was small, but they added Tyler Naquin and they get Jacob DeGrom back tonight. Braves added. Phillies added. Brewers Cardinals added. Dodgers Padres added. It's the Jays. That's the...
Right.
And sure, David Peralta and Tyler Naquin, like those are not... wild names. They're maybe just a hair above Anthony Bass and Zach Pop. But if you're a Jays fan, I would completely understand that if at 6 o'clock, this is it, it would be a little disappointing. Now, those are our opinions of the situation. Have you got the sense the Jays are pretty active in trying to make something happen? Or are they closer to the Cubs where, you know, everything moves in silence like lasagna?
I think right now, Blake, that they're talking a lot. We know they've talked to the Angels. They've talked to the Cubs. They've talked to the Tigers about bullpen. I'm not so sure the Tigers are really much of a fit any longer, unless they want to really continue remaking the bullpen and get one more piece like a Fulmer. Fulmer's going to move to somebody, obviously, at the deadline. I would say this. If the Jays by 6 o'clock, the two names to watch here, Syndergaard and Happ. Mm-hmm. If they get Syndergaard and Happ, would Jays fans be satisfied with that, do you think? Because that to me is, at this moment in time, the high end of where they're going.
I think reasonable Jays fans would be. I think there are going to be some that see some of the other names that were moved, and maybe if you don't have the level of confidence in Jose Berríos at this point as the third guy in a wild card series, maybe you don't love that. But I would look at Bass as a middle inning guy, Syndergaard as a guy who can maybe you move Stripling back to the bullpen and that helps the bullpen that way. And then that flexible left-handed bat that can bounce around a little bit. And I pulled Hap's fielding numbers for the last couple of years. Over the last 2.5 seasons, he's played first, second, third, left, center, and right. I don't know that he's good at any of those positions except for left field, but that hasn't stopped the Jays from playing Raimel Tapia in center field.
I would describe Hap as an adequate defender. And here, too, Blake, is where I would make another point. There has been so much activity early, ahead of the deadline, whether it was yesterday or today, that the Jays cannot say to anyone, oh my gosh, we had a deal that was ready to go and it was on hold because of other things that were happening and we got caught. It was an unexpected turn. Very little. The Soto deal was obviously stunning in its magnitude and just to have a Hall of Famer traded is a huge story. But we saw it coming. It was talked about extensively in the industry for a long period of time. Very little about this day or yesterday the Jays would be able to respond to and say, oh my gosh, something totally unforeseen happened and took us off our game. It's all in front of them, Blake. It is all in front of the Toronto Blue Jays. They have a good baseball team that should be and could be better. And again, I'm willing to be patient for the next hour and 40 minutes because a lot of things can happen.
But I'm only on air 40 more minutes, okay. So I'm only patient for the next 40 minutes.
You're only worried
I'm
about...
I'm walking out of here at 5 o'clock, and the tweets are going to start coming off about how bad this deadline is.
Come on, let's go. But listen, sometimes there are great deals that are made by not making those trades. We've seen that happen many, many times before. And recall the essential premise of when this team... This management team took over. The belief was at the time in 2015 that Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins thought that Alex Anthopoulos had been too aggressive, had given up too much of the future for a short-term look. And really, you look at it, I think they did fine that year. Right?
Yeah. Look, Noah Syndergaard, obviously, and that was 2013, not 2015.
Right, right.
But he became Noah Syndergaard. And then the only real name, the only like notable name
Matthew
from that.
Boyd had a pretty good.
Yeah. And then Joe Musgrove, but Joe Musgrove had to bounce around a bunch before he became Joe Musgrove.
Right, right. Yeah. So that to me, I think in hindsight there, they did very well, the Jays did in 2015. And also look at last year. Again, the aforementioned Alex Anthopoulos. Sometimes you make a trade, yes, because of the impact it makes on your roster, but also the impact it makes on the sentiment and the spirit of your clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And recall last year, Alex Anthopoulos, his team, the Atlanta Braves, they lost Ronald Acuna Jr. on the final day before the All-Star game in this catastrophic injury that kept him out for the entire rest of the season. And before they played their next game, they were still under 500, Blake. Before they played their next game, they had traded for Jock Peterson. And he helped to change the dynamics of that clubhouse. Now, I'm not saying that you just make trades to help the clubhouse feel better, but sometimes there arrive moments in a season where a boost and some affirmation is needed, where you have to have the finger on the pulse of the clubhouse and the feel of what is expected. And the Jays just finished a really good month of July, Blake, where they showed that when they're at their best and when Berríos is pitching like this and Chapman is hitting big home runs, and again, when Springer is healthy, which we're not so sure about right now, this team can stand up against almost anyone in the American League. And yet you see the Astros get better. The Yankees have already made a couple moves. They've gotten better. They brought in a major starting pitcher in Montas, who the Jays had talked about. Blake, it's a time where a response, even if it's not a huge response, is needed. And I think it's also going to take us probably some weeks before we really put into context what the Nationals did and what the price would have had to have been from the Toronto Blue Jays. And if they could have gotten this deal done, if it had been Bichette, Tiedemann, Moreno, Martinez, again, put a pin on this day in the calendar. we'll be circling back to it in the future.
We certainly will, and we'll see how those prospects track, how the prospects the Nationals got track. And we'll see, you mentioned the Anthopoulos aggression. This front office put in prospects for Chapman, prospects for Berríos, a prospect for Bass and Pop now. We'll see if something goes down between now and 6 o'clock. You are jumping over to Baseball Central?
Right. So I'm heading over there. Okay. We'll be chatting there. I'll be on with Tim and Jeff Blair, I think, in the next hour. So I'm having a nice tour of downtown Toronto. If you see somebody with my MLB Network backpack looking around trying to find Dundas Square, it's me. Feel free to point me in the right direction. But it's been an amazing couple of days here, Blake. And thanks for the conversation today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on, John. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You guys can click over to Baseball Central a little later and catch more of John's reporting with Tim, with Jeff Blair. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet.ca, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 360, Ben Nicholson-Smith joins us in studio as we get within 90 minutes of the MLB trade deadline. All that's next on Jays Talk Plus on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and all those other sports nets.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays, Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Jays Talk Plus, coming to you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet.ca. Joined in studio for the last half hour here by the only guy who hits all of those notes on a daily basis, .ca, TV, radio. It's Ben Nicholson-Smith of At the Letters and Sportsnet. How are you, man?
Doing great. A busy day. Lots of excitement around baseball, if not necessarily for the Toronto Blue Jays, but it's been interesting.
Juan Soto, Anthony Bass.
Right.
It's close. It's not. The Jays have, let's reset just for a second here for anyone just tuning in. The Jays did deal Jordan Groshans to the Miami Marlins for Anthony Bass, Zach Pop, and a player to be named later. We just spoke with John Morosi of MLB Network, who told us he thinks they're still active and potentially active on names like Noah Syndergaard and Ian Happ. I'm sure a lot of Jays fans and Joe Siddle, we talked to him earlier, want another back-end bullpen guy. Ben, you got to think more is coming, right? It's not just Anthony Bass and Zach Pop.
I would think more is coming. Yeah, I think that's a safe bet with a little less than 90 minutes to go. The Jays have been linked to a lot of people in the last little while. The people I've spoken to in the industry describe the Jays as being very active when it comes to pitching, especially, but certainly casting a wide net. And I've heard them connected to Happ and other position players as well. So you have to think more is coming. And I mean, Bass is a good step. Pop is intriguing. But there's a need for some more help here for the Blue Jays.
Certainly. And Arden pointed this out when he was on with us a little earlier, that as nice as some of Pop's indicators are, that ground ball rate's been terrific. He throws hard. Possibly AAA depth, too, because he has options. And you have some guys in the pen who don't, especially if you add another name. I also do wonder a little bit if you want to work on his slider a little bit more. You do that in Buffalo. But you need help right now, and he's a guy who can get out. So all the teams around the Blue Jays, it's almost literally true that all the teams around them have been aggressive. The Yankees, hyper-aggressive. The Rays, by their standards, aggressive. They go out and get David Peralta. The Twins, Tyler Mahle, just shortly. The Astros going out and getting bullpen help and Trey Mancini. The Mariners getting Luis Castillo. That's just in the AL. The NL has been just exploding. Wow. Every team within a game of a playoff spot in the NL is adding big pieces. I know that we're 90 minutes away still, but are you at all surprised that so far, if the trade deadline were to end right now, the Jays have certainly lost ground compared to the teams around them in the wild card race?
They have. And if the deadline was 4:34 p.m., then the Jays would have fallen short of expectations. I guess we're in one of those tricky spots, and this is part of the fun of the deadline, but it's also part of the challenge where the deadline's not over. So, you know, it's so tough to assess midway through. I mean, yeah, the Jays have ground to make up. That's clear. The Yankees and Astros were better than the Blue Jays before this, and they took some real steps forward. And I mean, say what you will about Montas. There are questions around the shoulder. Trevino's fastball has been getting destroyed this year, so he's not a perfect pickup either. But the Yankees are better. The Astros are better. it's interesting. The Red Sox and Orioles actually get worse. Mm-hmm. And so the Orioles, a team that the Jays still have a lot of games left against, traded away their first baseman and their closer. So that helps the Blue Jays, but it's ultimately it's about your roster. And, you know, I had someone say to me, who's spent a lot of time in big league clubhouses over the years, if this is it, the Jays players are probably going to be disappointed.
Yeah, and that's one of the big concerns I would have. And you obviously don't let the players dictate that kind of thing, but you did just change a manager and they responded with a 12-3 run. And at the time that the manager got changed, Ross Atkins stood up there and took accountability and said, it's on him as well, that the team had underperformed and there are some flaws. And I don't know if you look around that locker room, and it's always got to be a weird thing because, like, you don't want the guy next to you leaving. I don't know how close any of those guys were with Anthony Bonda at this point. I think they're okay with that one, swapping him out for Anthony Bass. But yeah, you got to feel like you got the gauntlet laid down to you with the manager change and you responded and you've made the case over those last 15 games. And the schedule is about to get tougher too.
Yeah, the players have done their job in the last 15 games especially. They've really shown that this is a group worthy of reinforcement. I think there's little doubt about that. And just because the Yankees and Astros are really good does not just kind of create this inevitability that the Yankees or Astros are going to be the team in the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves won the World Series last year.
Right, and you know, it's more likely I would pick the Yankees or the Astros over any of the wild card teams at this point, but there's still a window for the Blue Jays or for the Mariners or for the Twins, whatever team emerges from the Central, to really make some sort of push for the World Series. That's the ultimate goal of this franchise. They haven't been there, obviously, in decades and decades, and yet they have a lot of the ingredients to get there. So in the next, 83 minutes, they do have a chance to add some real reinforcements, and I have no doubt that they'll try to, and very curious to see where that leads.
So we've talked a lot, you and I, and on this show in general, that, you know, they came into this deadline with the priorities being back-end relief help, maybe a mid to back-end starter, and then if something materializes, a left-handed bat that gives you some flexibility in the lineup, maybe someone who can play center field with Springer needing more off days and more DH days. Anthony Bass acquisition noted, do you still have those things right now in the same order? Still need a back-end guy first, and then you look at a back-end rotation guy or a lefty bat, like an Ian Happ type?
That's a great question. Because Bass to me is just on that edge of, I think you could put him in very, very high leverage.
That slider's improved a lot. It's
nice.
He's
throwing it more. It's a great pitch. He throws 95. Bass is good. He's a good pickup. He's a definite upgrade over Bonda, let's say, who was just cut loose. Like, that's a big upgrade. That's good. Now, man, they still need more, though. So I would say I think I still go bullpen first and then starter second. But, you know, those are pretty close because on the starting pitching side, like, you look at the Buffalo Bisons rotation. Max Castillo is down there getting stretched out again. Sean Anderson starting, Thomas Hatch, and they have TBA for two of their next four games. So
yeah, Biagini, you know, got released.
Yeah, there's just not support at AAA for this rotation. So I think that it's not about getting someone who necessarily slots in as a playoff starter. It's more so you have to get there. You have to get the best seed possible. And so even if you acquire someone who's not even on your playoff roster, but they can help you get there, I think that there's a need for that kind of starting pitcher.
Yeah, and, you know, there are a lot of relief arms out there. There's kind of a lower tier of starting pitchers, and I know I'll give you the opportunity here. So you and I, a couple weeks ago, maybe late June, kind of narrowed in on, hey, an Ian Happ, David Robertson package makes a lot of sense. That was a little before Kikuchi went the way Kikuchi went, and we all started talking about starting pitching options just a little bit more. The Mariners adding again Kirk Casale from the San Francisco Giants, according to Robert Murray. So there you go. Not a huge thing, but the Mariners continue to tweak and add. So you and I had kind of settled on Ian Happ and David Robertson. Robertson is now a Philly. And you've kind of shifted your half prediction, half I'm going to bookmark his Fangraphs tab to Drew Smyly. Why do you think Smiley's a fit? And could you see a Smyly Happ kind of double dip with the Cubs?
I could. And that's speculation. I mean, I have heard them connected to Happ, and I know they've scouted the Cubs recently. Now, Smyly, that's the part where it gets to a little bit of speculation. But I think if you're looking at this team, he would fit that mold of, okay, he gives you some depth for the rotation, which now you have five guys. Kikuchi slated to start tomorrow, and he was pretty good against the Tigers. And so Smiley would be someone who could give you insurance and depth, but he could be in the bullpen when you need him. So you want to go six man for a bit, he's there. You want to put him in the bullpen for a bit, that's no problem. So I actually kind of like it as a low-cost addition, but we'll see. I mean, like I said, that part of it is speculative for now.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what we're here for. Look, if the Blue Jays didn't want us to speculate here at 441, they should have made more trades by 441.
That's right.
Yeah, and Smiley's a guy that has a good amount of experience coming out of the pen. He's thrown 119 innings as a reliever. A lot of that was early career, but still, he's a guy, as recently as last year, he was bouncing between the rotation and between the pen. The other thing is, whether it's Smiley, whether it's Syndergaard, Alex Cobb, someone like, I mean, the Giants keep moving pieces. Alex Cobb's a name I've kind of come back to a couple times today. Yeah, and that's one where, like, maybe just the fact that you're eating the money on next year's deal, because he's owed $10 million next year as well, I believe. Maybe that entices the Giants. I don't know. I have trouble figuring out what exactly their goals are, because they're basically 500, but they're acting as sellers, and we're seeing tweets that Carlos Rodon is available. Alex Cobb's almost 35. If they're going to sell pieces off, you'd have to think he's someone they'd be willing to move. Not a guy, though, with relief experience, Alex Cobb. You still have that option, though, of if you add another starter, you could potentially move Ross Stripling back to the bullpen.
Yeah, you could down the line. It just gives you more options. So mm-hmm. I think that's like an interesting path for the Jays to consider. And I think the position player one is too, because a couple reasons. I mean, one, Springer not in the lineup again today. So that's three of the last four he won't have started. Four games out of 10 since the All-Star break that he will not have started. I mean, that's almost half, right? So yeah. We're getting to the point, and that's almost half after a week off. So it's something that the Jays internally have to know where Springer's health is at. And they're not going to necessarily share the exact details of what's going on with his elbow for obvious competitive reasons at this point. But the results speak for themselves when it comes to how often he's playing. And so I think you have to at least look at guys who can play some center field. And Happ has done very little of that this year. But even someone like Laureano, like, I know he's a right-handed bat. And we talk so much about lefties, but, you know, Laureano is kind of interesting to me.
He is. And you know, that's even if you like Springer better as a center fielder than Laureano on the days Springer does play, that's a cannon to move into right field. Not that Teoscar has necessarily done anything to lose plate appearances or anything like that. The other way to shake this out, and I guess if you're confident that Springer could play a lot in right field, center field, and DH, if you manage that well, let's say he's going to play 70% of games the rest of the way. Well, maybe you don't feel the need to add an outfielder, or maybe it just doesn't become a priority that the add is an outfielder.
Yep.
I've tried to put myself in the position of, well, what if something catches us off guard? What would that look at? And I realize it's impossible to think of something that would have caught me off guard, because then it's a Schrodinger's cat situation. But I do look at the recent performance of the second baseman, and I've been super high on Santiago Espinal. Biggio, since he came back up from AAA, he's turned the other way a little bit. But Espinal's come down to earth and is now a below average bat on the season. Biggio is Biggio. We know what he is at this point. Could you see a scenario where the Jays were interested in a second baseman that allows them to turn Espinal into kind of a super sub?
Yeah, I think that's something that they should be looking at if there's a second baseman out there. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that fit is, and maybe that's where the surprise comes in, where, you know, who is that trade candidate who's
maybe the surprise is trusting Ian Happ to play there when he's only played there, eight games over the last 3 years?
Yeah, it would be. But I mean, this is where, like, to me, the easiest path to upgrades is always where are you getting the worst production, right? That's the most obvious thing. And so that's where bullpen became an opportunity for them, and where they're looking and continue to look at relievers. But, you know, there's also second base in the month of July anyways. Espinal and Biggio have fallen off. Now, you can make do with a platoon there, and I think that's fine. But you have to look at everything. So again, that's where the Blue Jays have to take a long look at anything that can give them that kind of meaningful upgrade.
Yeah, and they've got to take a long look. I mean, you're out of time to take a long look. They're just taking quick looks at this
point. Now it's quick looks. It's just bring up the internal database and see what you got there.
Yeah, I'm so curious what their internal database looks like compared to my like custom Fangraphs leaderboard that was like, okay, take all the teams that are under 500, find their relievers with this strikeout rate and under this walk rate, and let's see what we can do.
I mean, I think there would be similarities.
Yeah.
I think there would be. Because it's not like we didn't think of Anthony Bass as a potential trade candidate, right?
No, Caitlin actually predicted it on the show last week. Caitlin McGrath of The Athletic.
Great call by Caitlin.
Yeah, and I've got a couple names here who were, I mean, everyone knows the Tigers' names. It sounds like the asking price on Gregory Soto remains very high.
Very high.
Probably less so on a Joe Jimenez who was...
Still high.
Yeah, which is bizarre because, like, he was a DFA candidate last year and... You know, it's odd not to sell on a reliever having one really good year, even if you believe in the changes. So that's one. With Baltimore moving off of Lopez, Felix Bautista is really interesting to me, but maybe they plan on elevating him to the closer role. I'm not sure there. And then, you know, there's Brock Burke out of Texas, Matt Strom out of Boston from the left side. I don't know. My point is not necessarily that any of those names are going to be it. And of course, we've talked about David Bednar a million times, wondering if Pittsburgh would move off of him, even though he's a minimum contract and controllable. All of that is just to say there are a lot of relievers left, especially if you consider that a lot of, like we laid out, a lot of the teams around the Jays have done their shopping.
Yeah. And so you wonder, like for a team like the Yankees, would they keep going or are they done?
The Yankees probably would, yeah.
They probably would keep going. The Mets, too. I mean, I think the Mets are still going to be involved on relievers. Mm-hmm. The Phillies, they've added Robertson, but do they add more? The Twins have added a lot of pitching, but could the Twins keep adding pitching? So the Mariners added Castillo, but could they add more in the bullpen? We know Jerry DePoto's pretty active. So I still think, like, I guess it's almost been a little eerily quiet here for the last 45 minutes or so, right? Kirk Casale's the only trade in the last little bit, but I don't think we're close to done. I think that we're going to see a lot of activity in the next hour.
These things come in waves, right? You get the people doing the early work, and then Juan Soto kind of holds everything up where we started seeing, once we got the word that Juan Soto discussions were down to a few teams and teams had been informed that they were out of it, then you start seeing trades start to happen, right? Teams that were clearly saving their assets for Juan Soto move in a different direction.
Dodgers.
Yeah. And now we're kind of in that last hour. Like at this point, if you were a seller, why wouldn't you run it down to the wire and see if you can get one more thing or one more team calls you because, you know, the Mets add someone so the Phillies get back on the phone.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you run it down to the wire? Now, my answer to that would be because Jays Talk Plus only runs till 5 o'clock.
And we
need to get
make the moves now.
Some transactions. We're going to go a whole 3-hour deadline special without a move. I know that there was a move, but it was like right before we came on the air. So, of those relievers that we kicked around, I mean, I'm kind of just filling the last 5 minutes here.
Do you have any predictions? Like, what do you think is going to happen here?
Yeah, I mean, the Hap one has been out there too much to not happen. Well, I mean, it could obviously not happen, but that one makes a lot of sense to me, especially if the Jays have any belief whatsoever he could still fill an infield spot. I don't know if I would want to play him anywhere other than left, but beggars can't be choosers at this point. I keep coming back to the Pirates, too, and it's not just the Bednar thing, but maybe you could tag on Reynolds, and Reynolds fills the Hap spot for you. I don't know. The Pirates feel like they haven't sold enough to me for a team that's 22 games below 500.
What if the Jays go get Martin Perez and Joe Jimenez? Does that make it a B-plus deadline for you?
Yeah, I think... Yeah, B plus. I like Jimenez a lot. Some of the recent track record worries me just a little bit. Like that's a guy who, if he turned back into a pumpkin at 6:01, it wouldn't shock me. I like Martin Perez though, and I think he's figured out some real stuff. And I know I'm a little biased with Texas, weirdly, because Jays fans have this antagonistic thing with Texas, but they hired Darren Willman from Baseball Savant. They hire a kind of pitching biomechanics guy from my hometown.
Oh, cool.
Down the road. So I'm kind of like, oh, maybe they're doing cool stuff now. Maybe the Rangers are smart. John Gray was my guy and he looks awesome. So I don't know. Maybe I believe in the Martin Perez changes.
Okay. And then how do they get it to an A? because that path, like obviously a Soto would have been there. Otani, those are A pluses, right?
I'm a hard marker.
Yeah, I can tell.
I was a TA back in the day. I know what an A looks like, and a bunch of guys isn't an A. I'm being overly critical. Not even critical. I'm being a hard marker. I think if you got Perez one more reliever and that left-handed bat that kind of bumps Zimmer off the roster or Collins off the roster, you could get into A-minus territory there.
Yeah. I mean, it's tricky, right? I actually kind of like Zimmer. Just keeping him around. I might be in the minority there, but he just serves a purpose.
He does, but does he? Like, the last time we saw him pinch run, he got picked off.
Defensively, I like the defense. So, to me, if they get Jimenez and Perez, that's probably B+.
Okay.
Along with Bass and Pop. I think that's a B+. But who knows? I mean, right now, they're probably sitting in territory well below that.
Yes, they are not grading well right now. But they have... It's not pencils down yet. You got nine left.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the time of the deadline where all the nerds are getting up and turning in their exams already. Like, I'm up. I'm out of here. I turned in my exam. I'm back playing video games by now. But you still got some time to, you know, go through and second guess all your answers and circle C in for every answer.
That's I think essentially the Jays are doing a version of that now where they're reaching out, having that one last conversation saying, okay, here's where we will go. And then there's either a deal or not. And you kind of move on to the next one at that point.
Yeah. And then, you know, you put them all up on the board and which one do we want? Which one are we most comfortable with?
Well, I think there'll be something.
But yeah. Are you leaning Perez? Is that why you threw him out there?
There's not much out there, right? Because Malley was traded. Quintana was traded. Scooble's not getting traded. Rodon, I mean, that's going to be a big price. I imagine the Jays would at least check.
That would be fun.
That would be a big one.
That would really blow up the conversation around the Blue Jays today.
I mean, they have to check, obviously. But I just don't see a ton out there. And so Perez, like the Rangers are talking, like maybe they'll keep him. But, you know, I still think you got to trade him if you get something halfway decent.
Yeah. Okay. So let's round this out by taking a look back. Oh, Matt Boyd to the Mariners. Old friend.
Wow.
Old friend Matt Boyd. The Mariners not stopping. I guess you put J-Rod on the IL and you got to make some moves. So that's another Giants sell piece.
Wow. And the Twins acquiring Sandy Leone, and they're like, and the Guardians are doing nothing here. What a weird deal. But anyways, I'm cutting you off here.
No, look, we've got a minute left, and all of that is just to say the teams around the Blue Jays continue to make moves. Anthony Bass is in. Zach Pop is in. Pour one out for the Jordan Groshans era.
Well, I mean, look, at this point, I honestly think the Jays waited too long to trade him.
Yeah.
You know,
the rare time I disagree with Arden, and sounds like you disagree with Arden as well. He remains a Groshans believer.
Oh,
thinks
no.
The power is going to come.
No. Yeah. Not really there. I mean, we'll see. And look, I'm wrong on this stuff all the time. So maybe, but I think at this point, when I look at Jordan Groshans, the numbers just aren't there.
Yeah, one home run in AAA when everyone else is knocking the cover off the ball. All right, we've got just a couple seconds left. So, Ben Nicholson-Smith, thank you.
My pleasure.
We're going to see you on what? Sportsnet Central and a bunch of other stuff the rest of the way?
Yes, that's the plan.
So thank you for coming on. Thanks to John Morosi. Thanks to JR and Derek behind the glass. We had a whole bunch of guests, so apologies if I forget one as I go through. Joe Siddle, Chris Black, Shai Davidi, Drew Fairservice, Arden Swelling, John Morosi, Ben Nicholson-Smith, I'm missing one, Christina DeNicola, Ben Wagner. Thank you to all of those people for coming on. Thank you for listening and hanging around. If you're watching on the TV side, we're going to kick it over to Tim and Friends now. If you're on the radio side on Sportsnet 590, The Fan Drive Time is next. I'm going to stick around and talk to Ben Ennis for a little bit, and then they've got just a hitter's row of guests and maybe Ross Atkins' press conference later. This has been Jays Talk Plus.